and welcome to the November 2013 edition of The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones, who is here with me. I'm Jared Knight. On today's program, we'll talk a little bit about what homecoming means to our institution. We'll also have a chance to talk about how the Jones family celebrates Thanksgiving. But first, this year saw the addition of a new executive in the office of the provost, and it's high time we said hello here on the show.
That's absolutely right, Jared. Our new provost and vice president for academic affairs has been with us for a little over 4 months now, or right at 4 months. And it's been a busy time, but I'm very happy to introduce Dr. Adolfo Benavides, our new provost and vice president for academic affairs, who comes to us most recently from our arch rival, whom we vanquished on the football field recently, Tarleton State University. Adolfo, welcome.
Dr. Jones, thank you very much. And Jared, thank you very much for the invitation. What a pleasure it is for me here this afternoon to say hello to the listeners. What an honor it is for me to be the provost and VP for academic affairs at Texas A&M University Commerce. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Benavides, you are still kind of transitioning in terms of, finding a permanent home and so forth. But I got to say that that didn't slow your transition into the life of the university. You certainly rolled up your sleeves and got going. What's it been like for you to step into this position here at our university? You were previously a dean of business. Prior to that, an associate dean of business at A&M Corpus Christi. So certainly you're familiar with administration and management issues in higher education. I'm asking in a roundabout way kind of what your vision is for this institution moving forward and the role you'll play in carrying that out.
Well, Dr. Jones, the fact that I have been with the Texas A&M University system for the great majority of my career has been very, very helpful in terms of knowing the ins and outs of the system policies. That has been very, very helpful. My prior administrative experience has been instrumental in my ability to transition into this role as the provost at A&M Commerce. Really, my vision for the university's academic division is to continue to maintain the high-quality academic programs, not just undergraduate, but also the graduate programs, to continue to recruit high-quality students and to continue to diversify the student body as well as the faculty ranks.
Right.
And actually, in addition to that, to develop new academic programs that are forward-looking, that are academic programs to prepare our graduates for the role that they're going to be playing in the 21st century.
That's exactly what we need to be doing as a university. That's our mission, is to make sure that we prepare young people and sometimes not so young people to reach their own potential and to enter the workforce or hire more advanced training and education from here, well prepared to be successful on day one. You mentioned forward-looking degrees, things that have that are particularly responsive to the interests and needs of our students. Maybe a little premature to launch this question your way, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you have an example of a degree or two that you might be considering moving forward with that is kind of leading edge, something where we would be out in front?
I can just name a few. For instance, in our College of Business and Entrepreneurship, there's a great opportunity to look into programs that are going to be well received by students, specifically a program such as forensic accounting or cybersecurity in management information systems, or a program in global leadership, for instance. In the other colleges, for instance, we have a great opportunity to expand our portfolio of offerings in the health sciences.
Yes.
We started with nursing, and that's going to be very well received. But beyond nursing, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for related disciplines. In the College of Science, Engineering, and Agriculture, currently we're offering two engineering degrees, but there's no reason why, if the state of Texas is going to meet the closing the gap goals, throughout the state, there's going to be a need to offer additional engineering degrees.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to look at those opportunities. And in the College of Humanities, Social Sciences, and Arts.
Yeah, I have a cheat sheet myself.
Oh, we're really excited about a new program that is going to be very well received. It is already very well received, a Master's of Science in Criminology. Additional programs in visual arts, linguistics as well, to complement the very strong portfolio of offerings that we have in the humanities and the arts and the social sciences as well. So those are some of the very preliminary ideas.
Right. Well, we certainly do have abundant opportunity here, and I think that we do have the faculty a creativity and innovative spirit, entrepreneurial bent that it's going to take to move these degrees kind of from concept to actual implementation. Tell me a little bit about the Benavidez family, and you've been in Texas for a while, so no particular culture shock, I guess, moving from Stephenville to Commerce, although you're moving to a much smaller town. Tell me about your family.
Well, over the last few years, the Benavidez family has been migrating from south to north Texas. But I got to tell you, Dr. Jones, this is as far north as we plan to go. We are thrilled to be here. We're a very, very, very international family. We consider ourselves fortunate, blessed to be here in the state of Texas. We enjoy the benefits of superb weather coming from a tropical country. And I was born and raised in Colombia. Wintertime, as harsh as it is in the Midwest or in the Northeast or Northwest parts of the United States, that wintertime is very harsh for us. And so the climate of Texas is ideal for us.
Mm-hmm.
We like the Hispanic heritage,
yes,
of the state. We feel very comfortable here. We have a family in Round Rock, Texas. Our son is in Corpus Christi, where he is a science teacher at Baker Middle School. And we have additional family in just north of Chicago.
Whom you visit in the summer months, correct?
Just in the summer, yes. Our family here in Greenville consists of my wife, who happens to be, by the way, transitioning into a new career. She's currently about halfway through her accounting degree here at A&M Commerce. Also, we have our nephew, an international student from Colombia, who started his computer information systems degree at Tarleton and has transferred here seamlessly. And so already 3 months into his new academic environment, he's really thrilled to be here. He is excited to be here, and so am I, yeah.
That's great. And you mentioned you're living in Greenville for the time being, but hoping to find just that right place in Commerce?
We've made a decision. For me, it's critical that as the chief academic officer of the university, that I attend as many events often outside of, quote, regular working hours, events such as concerts,
right,
or art exhibits or guest speakers or plays that really enrich the academic experience. I want to be part of those as a provost who supports all our academic programs. And for that reason, we made a decision to build a home here in Commerce, very close to the university, that would allow us to be in all these events. I love athletic events. You name it. Volleyball, basketball, soccer, football, cross country, track, next year softball. And so I want to be here for a lot of those events.
Note to Jared, football and soccer, okay?
Right, two different things.
Right.
In South America, they're one and the same.
Right.
But,
exactly. Right. And he made a good timing decision, too, with regard to football, because now his team won this past weekend.
Yeah, Dr. Benavidez does not know the experience that having a winning team feels like. What a new experience that is,
right,
overall.
Yeah. So whenever you haven't been winning, winning is great.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
exciting.
What a sweet victory to beat your old employer. I know it was. I know it was for me.
It was an amazing game, an amazing experience, and it was great that I was there. For me, I loved it.
Well, Dr. Adolfo Benavidez, thank you very much for being our guest on this month's President's Perspective, but thank you even more for being a member of our Lion family and a member of our community.
Thank you, Dr. Jones, for the opportunity. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you, Jared, for the invitation. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about why the events surrounding homecoming are so important for this institution, plus Thanksgiving with the Joneses. It's all on the way. This is the President's Perspective, only on your station, 88.9 KETR. Welcome back to the President's Perspective, chat with the CEO of TAMUC, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. Sure, it's a chance to put more butts in the seats at a football game, but homecoming is much more than that.
Well, that's absolutely right, Jared. Homecoming is a week-long series of events, and it's a great time for our students to find out a lot more about the history and the legacy of the institution that they're going to be part of for the rest of their lives. I know whenever I talk to students, whether they're freshmen or graduating seniors or doctoral students who are just finishing up their degrees, I tell them the same thing, and that is when you leave here, you're going to be a Lion for life. And so we want them to leave feeling proud and part of the tradition of excellence that this university represents. So homecoming, of course, it is an opportunity for our alumni and our graduates to come back and kind of rekindle old memories and acquaintances and relationships. But it's also a tremendous opportunity for our students to just find out how great this institution really is, and for them to attach themselves even more securely and become part of that tradition moving forward.
I find, too, that it's so difficult as an alumnus of this institution to actually hit all of the events that I was related to when
right.
I was a student. There's a, you know, the fraternity is doing something, and then my department is doing something, and then everybody's got something going on, and you kind of have to be in a lot of places at once if you just come in for the one day. But, you know, a week of celebration is kind of nice.
Yeah. And, of course, typically our alumni don't show up until, you know, Thursday or Friday. But,
right. Yeah,
the rest of the week is packed with events. Monday afternoon of homecoming, we had a photograph of students in the in Memorial Stadium outlining, you know, our giant lion logo. And that'll be on the website. And I think that's going to be one of those photos that gets archived.
Right. They went all the way around the edges there?
Yes.
Did we have to bus students in for that, or we had enough?
No, we had enough. We had enough. You know,
it's a massive logo, is my
point. No, it was. It was. But, yeah, we had to stretch them out at arm's length.
Right.
But we managed to connect all of the dots. So that was a lot of fun, and the light was perfect. And of course, we had our brilliant photography team out
there.
And Paul Bryant had his little helicopter taking aerial shots. And so watch the web, and because that's really going to be a pretty stunning photograph once it gets all produced. And, you know, the theme of homecoming this year was a circus theme, Our Pride Cannot Be Tamed.
Right.
And as part of our opening photograph and ceremony, one of our associates brought a pet monkey in. And it was, you know, it was a circus monkey. He was dressed up in blue and gold, and so it was not what people expected to see, but it certainly brought a little bit of, lively aspect to the event.
Afraid to say cannot be tamed if you've got a live animal around.
Yeah, right. Well, he was pretty tame.
Yeah.
Fortunately, yeah. We're not. From time to time, people have suggested to me that we actually get a live lion for a mascot. You know, the way they've got a longhorn in UT.
I think a longhorn's significantly easier to sort of wrangle, isn't it?
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to keep a lion for us? Are we going to outsource that? Who's going to?
Yeah. Well, don't worry. All of you animal rights people, we're not going down that road. So,
but Equine Arena's big, and there's a nice facility out there.
Well, the lion. I don't know how lions and horses get along. I'm guessing not all that well. So, I think our lion, the world's largest lion head in the middle of the football field, we'll have to do. But again, Wednesday, the hot dog spirit rally. You know, that's when all of our Commerce area alumni came out and helped serve our students. And again, this is a wonderful opportunity for our students who are here today getting their degree to connect with folks who were here 30, 40, 50, even 60 years ago.
Right.
The Commerce area alumni chapter are intensely loyal.
Right.
And they love this university. They come out and help at every opportunity. So it really is. It's very eye-opening.
When you talk about that, getting to meet somebody who sort of came before, obviously, as an institution of higher education, we're the last folks to say it's not who you, it's not what you know. And it certainly mm-hmm. has a lot to do with what you know. But who you know can help.
Sure.
And whenever you have this opportunity for folks who are from here, who understand the types of education that students are getting while they're here, they're great handshaking opportunities, great opportunities to meet folks who you might be able to call on later in life and say hello and catch up on things.
Right. I mean, and that really is one of the most important aspects of a traditional college education. Obviously, you take a lot of classes, you do a lot of memorization. I can remember memorizing quotes from Othello and Hamlet, and I can still recite some. I'll do that on the next program.
When we need to pad for time, we'll do that.
But you also meet an awful lot of people, and some of them are people in your major, and you feel an instant bond. Some of them, and this is really the great thing about college, it's not meeting other people like you. It's meeting other people who are not like you.
Right.
And these alumni who come back are not like our graduates, you know, our students today. Well, for one thing, they're a lot older. But in other ways, they're a lot like our students today. A lot of them had to struggle to pay their tuition. A lot of them had to carve out time from other responsibilities to go to school. So these alums, when they come back to campus and talk to our students, it's a real boost to our students because, you know, they look and say, you all made it. I can do it too. And to come back to your point, these people love to help. This is not part of homecoming, but every year we have our alumni ambassadors come. These are very successful graduates. They come and talk to classes. They meet the students. What a tremendous opportunity for our students to get some names, to hear some stories, and to start forming that network of relationships right. That will be so vital to their success in the future.
And I haven't had it to do a lot, but I can say even the short time that I've been on the other side, I feel good being able to pass along names of students who I knew, for instance, took professors I took, and I know the sort of education that they had, and I
right.
know what their qualifications have to be if they survived X program or Y. Not that the programs aren't meant to be survived, yeah. But from time to time, you have some coursework that can be something to accomplish, and,
right.
and whenever you have, it feels good to be able to pass a name along to perhaps a potential employer and say, here's somebody you ought to look at, and
right.
I've had the opportunity to do that a few times since I graduated, which was really nice.
Right.
It always feels good to get positive reviews, and when you hear
yeah.
when you hear back positive things about the students you passed along who came from right here at A&M Commerce, it's such a neat thing.
Well, and there's so much social media support for this kind of thing. You know, we live in a LinkedIn world and
right.
a Twitter and Facebook world. So those human connections, as important as they are, now can kind of broaden out exponentially as a result of all the technological assists
right.
we receive in of that kind.
Right.
So homecoming, again, it's a week-long celebration culminating in the big, you know, 18-hour day on Saturday. It begins with the alumni breakfasts, the farm boys, the math department, distinguished alumni breakfast. There's really quite an assortment of activities. The parade, we've been doing the parade now for the last 6 or 7 years.
Right.
And, of course, that's always a lot of fun. We have tremendous participation by our student organizations and great floats. And, of course, our Grand Marshal this year was the gentleman we just interviewed, Dr. Benavides, who led the parade on his bicycle.
Right.
So it was a very unique event in that sense as well. The Mayo Graveside Ceremony is always – it's not a big event, but it's – for my money, it's one of the most compelling and moving events of the week. This year we had to move it over to the Heritage House next to the Mayo statue because of all the construction around the founder's grave. But still, that's a moment to reflect on the values and the wisdom and the vision that Professor Mayo had that all of us are the beneficiaries of today.
Well, another successful homecoming in the books, and it sounds like it continues to have a high place on your priority list for an institution.
Oh, absolutely. And each year it gets bigger and better.
Well, talk about Thanksgiving at the Jones household.
Well, Thanksgiving, of course, is coming up this time of the fall semester. It's an interesting time in an academic world. I can remember as a student, this is the time of year when you really start worrying about finishing that term project,
mm-hmm.
or you're worrying about that, you know, second big exam or third, however your instructor has it scheduled. So it can be a stressful time for our students. For our faculty and staff, I can remember as a faculty member having stress of a different kind because I know all those big projects are coming in and I'm going to have to grade them. And,
right.
you know, we all have to manage our time carefully. Of course, so much of that is done electronically now, but that doesn't cut down on the workload any. It just
no.
kind of cuts down on the inconvenience.
You don't read any faster with technology.
You do not read any faster with right. technology,
right.
and the human brain is still the deciding factor
right.
here. All that by way of saying that the Thanksgiving break comes along at a good time, and it gives people a chance to sort of catch their breath, and before they really hit it hard and finish strong, but Thanksgiving at the Jones House, our tradition that we've established over the last 10 years ago or so, I guess, has been that wherever the Jones family is living, the rest of the family is invited to come.
And that's kind of a neat standing little tradition.
Yeah, it is.
It's where are you now? That's where we're coming.
Yeah. And, of course, we're blessed to have to be living in the president's house now, so we actually have room for everybody.
Right.
But my wife's parents or her sister's cousin, it's just whoever's not doing something else, all show up. My brother-in-law usually plays as much golf as he can cram in. He always jumps back and forth between Sand Hill and Webb Hill.
Sure.
And it's just a wonderful family gathering. Everybody just sort of relaxes and enjoys the fellowship and enjoys the sense of love and support,
sure,
that comes with the family. And here in Northeast Texas, eight times out of 10, it's beautiful weather at Thanksgiving.
Sure.
Always a little bit iffy.
Sure.
But usually we still have some leaves on the trees that are turning, and it's just magnificent. So then we all, usually the Sunday or Monday afterwards, everyone goes their separate ways and gets into the marathon that involves preparing for Christmas.
Right. Exactly.
And,
exactly.
But this is just it's become sort of a symbolic passing of the seasons for us.
I can tell you from experience, it's difficult to shop on Black Friday when you're in the midst of a trip to Fancoma. That's not an easy way to get up in the morning at 4 a.m. and go shopping like a lot of folks do.
Right.
That's sort of a tradition in my household.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Well, for a lot of years, Jelena, my wife, used to have to work on Black Friday because she was in marketing.
Right.
And my sister-in-law, all in retail, had to work on Black Friday.
Right.
So wasn't all vacation
days.
Then.
No. And you're celebrating something, too, this year.
Yes. This is a point of privilege here. I wanted to give a shout-out to my son-in-law, who very soon will be Dr. Sean Ferrier Watson. He passed his comprehensive he passed his comprehensives a long time ago. He successfully defended his dissertation on October 25th. And so we're planning a celebration for him in conjunction with commencement. But Sean, congratulations. Great job. Got another doctor in the family now.
All right.
Still no one who can help me with my sore shoulder, but, we live in hope.
They don't know what that is. But,
yeah.
Our guest today was Dr. Adolfo Benavides. And Dr. Jones, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you, Jared.
President's Perspective is produced at KETR's studios in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. Previous episodes of this program are available when you visit KETR.org. While you're there, be sure to check out and click Support This Station in order to become a contributing member. Additional support for the President's Perspective comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.